listening to the Arsenal Ramble.
That's right, you are listening to the Arsenal Ramble, and we've just beaten Manchester United 3-1 at home at the Emirates. An absolutely massive win. And to talk through it with me, as ever, is my co-rambler, Dom. How are you, mate?
I am absolutely over the moon, to be honest, mate. It's one of those games where you don't expect that kind of outcome, especially the late drama as well. So absolutely ecstatic with that win. What about yourself?
Oh, I'm still on cloud nine, you know. The ups and downs of that game, one minute I was absolutely, you know, throwing my toys out the pram because we missed the shot or whatever. And then the absolute jubilation at the end. So, you know, over the moon that we managed to get the 3 points. And it is a big 3 points as well, going into the international break, which we'll touch on a little bit later. But this was, you know, a much needed 3 points. A draw even then would have been a disappointing, you know. I'm so glad we've managed to cap off this first phase of the Premier League before the international break with 3 wins and a draw, undefeated, and absolutely buzzing. As ever, shall we start with the lineups? I guess there's a fair bit to talk about with this one because it's a lineup we're accustomed to from the previous season. However, this season it's an unfamiliar lineup. Big Gabby back again, and Ben White then shifting across to his more natural right back position, and that in turn means Zinchenko is now back in at left back. This for me was huge, and it's something we've both been crying out for in recent weeks. But how glad were you to see those guys back?
Yeah, as soon as you sent me the team sheet and you said to me that Gabriel was back in the back line, that was a bit of a tongue twister. I was absolutely buzzing to see them go back with the familiar formation that we had last season, because I think we went over it a lot in the last game where we drew to Fulham, about how we just didn't really seem to have any of those normal link-ups, and you feel like Saka was just passing into open spaces and we were conceding chances through just unfamiliarity of that formation. So to bring back a formation that all the boys know, and also to have solidarity, especially on that right-hand side, against the likes of Marcus Rashford, who we know is going to cause us a lot of problems, I really was happy to see it. And also with Zinchenko coming back there as well, because we've had Tomiyasu and Kivior filling in that area, but they're just not quite the creative force that Zinchenko is. And with the defensive solidarity plus the creative side of both Zinchenko and Ben White, it's also like it's everything that we want to see.
Yeah, and you know, we've not actually seen Zinchenko since that huge win against Newcastle in May of last season. That's how long it's been since we've seen Zinchenko in this side. And it has been a huge sort of hole in this team, I think. I think he brings so much to us. Yes, he's got a little mistake in him every now and again, but the risk fee reward with this player is heavily outweighed with the reward. I think he played really, really good today, and he just helped our midfield, even with the absence of Partey and Rice playing that lone number six. He just completed that box midfield that we've seen so often, and it just works. And I'd really hope Arteta sees that and continues with it. I know what Arteta wants. He likes his possession. And to be fair, we did sacrifice that a little bit in this game. But the possession that we did concede, they weren't doing anything with it. It was dead possession. You know, most of it was in their penalty area, to be honest, with Onana fannying about. So, you know, I'm all for it. If it means we're more solid at the back, then I'm all for it. We've obviously just touched on it slightly there, but Partey, obviously out of the team, not through a technical decision, but through injury. The Ghana national team announced a couple of days ago, actually, which sure Arsenal weren't too happy about, that he was in fact injured in Arsenal training, and it's a groin injury. and they're not sure what sort of grade of injury it is. Depending on the severity, it could be a matter of months or it could be a matter of weeks. So that could be a huge loss to Arsenal. And again, it's more worrying signs that this Thomas Partey that we're seeing, he's just made of glass. He cannot stay fit.
No, he is so fragile, isn't he? And he's becoming quite an unreliable person in that defensive line / midfield, wherever he's being played. And I think that's one of the main reasons why we've brought in the likes of Declan Rice to be able to cover in that area, because whenever Partey was injured last season, we didn't have a like-for-like switch of someone that can go into that six role and be as creative and as solid and as technically secure on the ball. So for us to make that upgrade in Declan Rice was really a very intelligent move for us to make. But it does beg the question to me on whether if Partey had been fit for this game, would he have still started at right back, and would we have still seen that formation that we saw in the previous three games persisted on with Arteta? Do you think there's a part of this which is his cards were forced, he had to deal this hand?
I think you just read my mind, because that was literally my next question for you. But yeah, I really can't call it for this, because we were all dying out for this lineup. But he seems really persistent with this party at right back. The only thing that I consider is the fact that Zinchenko hasn't been 100% match fit. He missed a lot of pre-season. Obviously, he came on for a few minutes in the previous game, but it was more of a cameo. Now he's sort of match fit. The fact that Zinchenko is back, he then becomes our inverted fullback. There was no need for Partey then. And I think 100%, Zinchenko is the priority for our inverted fullback. We wouldn't play with two inverted fullbacks. So then that would naturally mean that Partey would then either not be in the team or go back into his midfield position. So I think there is a potential for him to have played in this game or started in this game, but it would have been at the expense of potentially Havertz in midfield, and with Rice playing the eight instead of him, just to add a little bit more, I guess, to make us more solid in midfield. We're against a top six team. That would be the alternative, I think, for this game. I don't think we would have seen Paya at right back, but who knows? Arteta does throw up some curveball sometimes.
Yeah, I absolutely have to agree. And I think that is one kind of starting 11 that everybody wants to see trialled out as well, with having both Partey and Rice in centre mid instead of Havertz. And to be fair, I wanted to see that before the season even started. However, I am all for that even more now, just because of how Havertz has underperformed. And he didn't really change my mind in this game either. I don't want to sound like a broken record, but we pointed it out in the last game, and we said that it's probably time for a shake-up and we should bring Fabio Vieira into this first 11, or at least have a rejig because of how wasteful Havertz was. And we said that we still thought that Arteta would play him in this game because of how much he really has faith in him. But you know, going into the first 30 minutes of this game, he really did seem to be quite wasteful with his chances, didn't he?
Yeah, and some. This is a player that I think sort of plays off confidence. He's such a confidence player, more so than any I can really think of in the whole of the Premier League. He sparks me as the sort of person that is probably listening to all of this criticism of him, and it's affecting his game, because it's the little things that he's not doing right. It's the little misplaced passes. It's the wrong decisions at the wrong time. He's not doing the fundamentals at the minute, and it's really affecting us in midfield. And that was probably a big part of why we weren't maintaining possession. He wasn't pressing at the right times. Odegaard was really trying to lead that press, and he was even sort of pointing around at him to tell him where he needs to be, and he was just being bypassed. it's like the game was just sort of passing him by without him really being involved. And I hate criticising him because he's a new player, and I do have confidence in him eventually, because I have confidence in Arteta ultimately. And if it's he's a player that Arteta's chosen, then he'll get backed. And it's just a frustrating one, because you have to earn your place, your starting place, on merit. And he's not doing that at the minute. There are players in this team, like you just said, Vieira, who's really, really performing well off the bench and deserves a place in this team. He's done it again today. You know, he's got an assist right at the end. He did come on later in the game for Havertz. Well, it might not have been directly for Havertz, but he played in that sort of position and affected the game a hell of a lot more than Havertz did. So, yeah, it's a frustrating one. And, you know, this was ultimately something that we saw straight away. I think it was the 14th minute. A huge chance fell for Havertz. If you remember, Rice made that terrific tackle on Bruno Fernandes to set up the attack. And it sort of spilled out to Martinelli. His cross was headed against Martial by Dalot, who didn't clear properly. It then landed to Havertz in, you know, space. There was no one contesting him. All he's got to do is slot that ball away. Mishits it completely, just fluffs his shot, and it just spills out for a goal kick or a throw in or a corner, whatever it was. But yeah, it was a huge chance so early in the game, and you can't be doing that in these big games.
Yeah, I have to agree. And there is a part of me that feels like the fact that Havertz is having a lot of these chances means that he's getting into decent positions. So he's making, you know, he's making good runs, and he is alert to be in the right sort of space to be able to have these chances in the first place. And I think that's the hard bit. That is the difficult bit, to be able to actually receive the ball in acres of space with the ability to take a shot. But it's just, his clinical ability is just not there. And it's something that we saw when he was at Chelsea. He was so wasteful with his chances. And I think if we can get him to a stage where he is starting to slot these away and he's starting to add goals to his game, then we could, you know, maybe get him on side and get behind him. But the things that are inexcusable in his game are the sloppiness in his passing, the sloppiness in his defensive awareness as well, just allowing players to drift past him and not being physical enough in the challenges to try and put pressure and add to the press. These are things which are absolutely non-negotiables when you're playing in an Arteta team. You have to, if you're not scoring and you're not assisting, and even if you're not playing your best game, you have to give it 110% effort and at least affect the game in a physical manner, especially when you're playing in the midfield. And we just don't see that from him.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And what even adds to the frustration more for me is the fact that we've got Emile Smith Rowe on the bench, who I just think is tailor-made for that position. And we've never seen him play there consistently. And I just can't help but think it's a real opportunity to get him back in the team in that position. We've got a player that's not performing very well. We've got Vieira doing well. We've got Smith Rowe that I think could play that position. And we're not seeing it. So, yeah. And it's going to get even worse for Havertz now, because 10, 15 minutes later in this game, he plays a really, really sloppy pass when we were building really decent possession and looking quite threatening on the attack. And yeah, it's sort of sloppy pass straight to Eriksen. Eriksen plays a decent through ball to Rashford, who's then one-on-one with the defender. And Rashford, great player, does what he does to a lot of teams and just curls it into the corner. Well, not the corner, but, you know, Ramsdale did well to get a hand on it, but just couldn't quite tip it over enough. And I don't think there's a lot he could do about it. The fact that he even got a hand on it was pretty decent, to be honest. But yeah, it's all stemmed from sloppiness. And despite our strong, we were playing decent in that first half. We were looking certainly the more threatening team. And yes, we didn't have as much as the ball as United, but they weren't doing a lot with it. And we were the one creating chances. And then for them to sucker punch us like that from a sloppy error on an attack, it's disappointing.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the thing. When you play against a team like United, they're notorious for being a counter-attacking team. So they're going to sacrifice a lot of possession, and they know that we're a possession-based team, so it's going to fall into our hands. But you can't then go and lose the ball and let them go onto a counter-attack, because that's exactly what they've designed for. The ball goes to Eriksen, and he's got a wonderful foot to be able to find the pass. And to be fair, it's an unreal pass in behind to Rashford. And then, like you say, when he's, well, he was one versus two, wasn't he? And still managed to get the shot away and score. So we can't be sacrificing sloppy, sloppy errors as well. I think he tried to do a little lobbed pass across to switch it, but there was at least two or three other passes on that he could have done to switch the play. But if that's the thing with Havertz, is the fact that if he's not contributing, then at least don't be a detriment to the team. And it seems like he's doing both. He's not contributing to us in terms of scoring and creating, and he's also at fault for us conceding. So there's no doubt in my mind, without trying to be too harsh, but I think he really needs to have a bit of a spell on the bench, just whilst either, like you say, Smith Rowe, or probably more suited to Fabio Vieira with his performance of late. One of those guys has got to come in, because it's getting too far now, and it's getting to the point where every single podcast we're talking about Kai Havertz, but not in a good light, and it's not what I want to do. I want to be talking about all the positives, like because we've just beaten Man United. We've just beaten 3-1 at home. We should be talking about all the incredible things, but we keep talking about Havertz, unfortunately.
Yeah, and it sucks. Like you say, we should be, and we will get onto that now. All the bad stuff's out the way now. It's all positive from here. But yeah, it does suck talking about player in a negative light. But we have to do it. You know, that's part and parcel of it. We look at the positives and negatives of the game. But yeah, like I say, it only goes up from now. And 30 seconds after that Rashford goal, we only go and equalise. And this is something that we saw a lot from an Arsenal team of last season, especially in that before Christmas period. Sometimes we'd get pegged, you know, down 1-0. We'd respond straight away and we'd be straight at them, and we'd get that equaliser quick and just sort of settle it down and not let the goal affect us too much. And that's exactly what we did. Odegaard levelled the score almost immediately. Eddie Nketiah picked out Martinelli inside the area, who finds Odegaard with a cutback towards the edge of the box. Captain steadied himself before firing into the bottom right corner. It was a brilliant finish. Absolutely no chance for Onana. And yeah, just exactly what we needed, wasn't it?
Yeah. If you're going to go 1-0 down, then the best way to respond is to go right back up the other end of the pitch and score pretty much straight away. And that's exactly what we did. And yeah, I think we saw Odegaard miss a couple of these chances from similar areas last season, where he's at the edge of the box and the ball was being cut across. And I think he just bent it wide and didn't quite get it on target. So it's good to see that in this game, he was really clinical. Captain's performance, really. Gets the ball. You know, there's no doubt about it. He's scoring. And then we're straight back in the game. And when you've got a team like Manchester United, if you're going to go 1-0 down to them, especially if they're away, you know that they're just going to sit back, try and plant traps, and then, you know, just defend the edge of their box and then counter you, and where they're really good at countering. So to be able to respond straight away and not have it dragged out till the 60th, 70th minute, trying to find an equaliser with them time wasting and breaking the game down, and that kind of scenario that we've seen played out time after time, it was incredible to see Odegaard just step up and get that goal to equalise straight away.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And to be honest, after that goal went in and we levelled it back up, we certainly looked like it was a little bit more reinvigorated and the chances were starting to come again. And we were knocking on the door. Martinelli especially was causing Wan-Bissaka on the left all sorts of problems, and just couldn't quite get past him to get a decent enough cross in. But we were certainly getting corner after corner towards the end of the half, and essentially just causing them problems. But we couldn't seem to break the deadlock. Goes in to halftime 1-1, and we ended the half on 45% possession, which for me is a little bit of a disappointment. I know I've said it already. We're talking about how they didn't really do a lot with the ball, but I feel like when we're at home, we need to be the ones stamping our authority on the game. We were pressing really well at times, and then all of a sudden we'd step off and allow them to have the ball. And then 10 minutes later, we decide to all press as a team again. And it was a little bit, are we doing it or are we not? Like, and I think that was sort of, I could see that in the players on the pitch. No one quite knew if we were doing the full press or we were sitting back a little bit. And I think that did result in us not quite having the ball as much as we'd like. But do you think that's a concern, or do you just think that's just part and parcel of this particular game and not something we should read into too much?
I think when you've been hit with a sucker punch goal like they did before, and then you get back to level terms, I think there's an air of you need to just kind of weather it out for a little bit without being too chaotic and being full sending on the press straight away, because you're going to be wary of those potential gaps and potentially misplaced passes for them to try and go back up the other end of the pitch and go back into the lead. So I think maybe there was a conversation almost to keep the boys, just settle the game down a little bit. We've brought it back to level, and then we can try and build from there. But yeah, like you say, it is a bit of a concern if they're going from pressing to not pressing to then pressing again, and not all pressing as a team, because that's where you can make mistakes, and that's ultimately where we could have conceded again.
Yeah, and to be fair, it was quite relentless when they were pressing. It looked exhausting just watching it, to be honest. So to keep that and maintain that is going to be difficult. And you could tell certain times when United wouldn't necessarily beat our press, but they would get a fortunate second bounce, and then it was them attacking on our final third, like we've been a click, you know. So there is an element of risk when you do press up that high. And all your bodies are up in their final third. It does leave you open to a counter attack. That is essentially how they scored their first goal. So obviously we probably had that in the back of our minds, like you said. Okay, going into the second half, I mean, it started off, I guess, with them probably slightly edging it, if I'm being brutally honest. I think around 55 minutes, Ramsdale had to make a great save. Rashford then followed up with a pretty decent shot, but Big Gabby blocked well. Apart from that was probably the only sort of big moment in that first phase. Up until around the 60th minute mark, when Arsenal were actually awarded a penalty. This, to me, felt like a Havertz redemption moment as he earns Arsenal penalty after a good little run. And when I was first watching it, I did think that's a nailed-on penalty. That obviously the ref pointed to the spot almost instantly, and I was thinking, don't worry about VAR. That's a nailed-on. Even if it goes to review, we're fine. We're getting that. But then the VAR cameras came out, and you watch it in slow motion, and you watch it from different angles, and you kind of see Havertz. He does get through the gap, and Wan-Bissaka does leave a little bit of a bit of a leg on him, but it's minimal contact, and he does go down quite easily. I have to say it would have been a soft penalty if it was given, so ultimately I do think the decision was right. And if the shoe was on the other foot, and we were talking about it as you know, if we were in their position, I think we'd say the same thing. So, what are your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I tend to agree. It would have been a soft penalty if we actually managed to get it. But I think it's one of those things where if the on-field referee is given the penalty, and then in the review they see that there's contact and he's gone down, I don't think in a normal circumstance they would tell the referee to overturn it. It's one of those things where it's like, oh, well, if there is contact and the referee's given it, they go with the on-field decision 9 times out of 10. So I thought it was a bit strange when I saw it overturned. However, I could see that it would have been soft if it was actually given. But yeah, I don't want to be winning matches by getting soft penalties. So fair enough, really.
Yeah, it's just one of those, isn't it? I guess another big chance later on in the around the 68th minute, I think it was, Martinelli shot from about 20 yards out. It was narrowly by the far post by a couple of inches, you know, really, really close. Another huge chance on the 82nd minute, and this was probably the one of the biggest chances of the evening. Should have been 2-1. White and Saka combine, and it was a lovely bit of play from those two. 8 yards out, all Saka has to do is place the ball either side of Onana, but he fires it straight at him, and another big chance gone. That for me felt like the moment where we had to score and we didn't. Was you disappointed with this one, or did you think we would get more chances?
Yeah, I feel like when you're in a tight game against Man United and chances are few and far between, when you have a golden opportunity like that, you really have to take it, because or else you're going to get punished and ultimately you're not going to win the game, or you may end up even losing the game. We've seen it before in a lot of games where we've not taken those opportunities late on. And yes, we have been absolutely punished for it. I think one that sticks out to me, was it Liverpool last season, where we had that opportunity to play Martinelli through on goal, and Martinelli had the opportunity to play Saka through on goal, sorry. And then that moment was lost. So yeah, I really felt like that was our moment, and he squandered the chance, didn't he?
He did, and it felt like it could get even worse, because only a couple of minutes later, Garnacho was put through, and it would have been an absolute sucker punch goal, because we were looking the likeliest to get that winner. Garnacho makes it 2-1 to United, but thankfully VAR steps in, and the offside lines are drawn, and it is narrowly offside. So close one, but by the letter of the law, that was the right decision. But that felt like it could have been a disaster moment. Head was in, you know, my hands. I felt like we've thrown this away here. A point would have been not great, but not disastrous at the same time. But to lose that game would have really disappointed.
Yeah, it was almost written in the stars, wasn't it? When you concede that late on, from after missing that big chance in the 82nd minute. Yeah, it's been such a tight game, and there's been decisions either way. You've had VARs given, not given, and then all of a sudden they score right at the end. You feel like, oh, we've read this story before so many times. It's infuriating. But as soon as that was ruled out, you really sensed that the lads were thinking, right, okay, game back on, we're going to get one more chance.
Yeah, I remember a message in you saying it doesn't look like we're going to be scoring a goal here as well. We weren't really probing and pressing how I thought we would. It looked like a game where we didn't want to lose it. We wanted to win it, but we didn't want to lose it, you know? So it sort of cancels each other out. And we got rice baby time. 2-1 to Arsenal, 96th minute. We've put some absolute awful corners in all day, but Saka finally gets a decent one in, a deep delivery, lands to Rice, who chests it down really well, actually, and then swivels on it quick, lashes a volley in. It deflects off, I think it was Johnny Evans, I think it deflects off him, and then just sort of creeps in at that near post. Anna not David that. What a moment for Rice. Felt like it was written in the stars, really, didn't it?
Yeah, his eyes certainly lit up as soon as it went to the back post, didn't it? You saw it. But the thing is, as well, it wasn't the cleanest finish because it hit a body and went through and kind of scuffled around the keeper. But he's not going to care one bit, really, is he? He's got his debut Arsenal goal at the Emirates Stadium, basically to win the game in the 96th minute. It's just an incredible moment. And you kind of see as soon as he scored, he looks up as if to say, oh, what have I just done? That's incredible. I'm going to go mental now. And then legs it to the fans and jumps straight in the crowd, doesn't he? And you see everyone pulling him and grabbing him. And these are the sort of moments that he's joined Arsenal for. I think for him personally in his career, he's joined Arsenal to be able to make these big influences on games and be able to provide the team with the wins and the 3 points to be able to ultimately go on a title charge, hopefully. And this is the sort of game which will be remembered when it comes to the crunch time of the season. But yeah, like I say, big player, big moments, and big 3 points.
Exactly. And I think even if you take away that goal, he was still the best player on the pitch by an absolute mile. He was bossing that midfield. Every single bit of play that United had, he was tackling, putting big tackles in, creating chances from them tackles. He does not lose that ball. Like, if there's one player in that team where you've got absolute confidence in to keep that ball, recycle it or progress it, he's going to be the man. When he's on the ball, I do not have any problem. You know, with some players, you feel a little bit queasy. You're like, oh God, you know, you don't quite feel as confident in them. But him, well, he is some player. And to cap it off with that goal, really was a world-class performance from a world-class player. What a signing. I think $105 million is going to be seen as a bargain somehow, which seems really strange to say. But when you compare that to some of the fees that other teams have paid for defensive midfielders or similar midfielders to Rice, we've got by far the better player there. So yeah, absolutely delighted for him, and you can see him only getting better as well. That's the even better thing. He just looks like he's only going to improve, and yeah, I'm just absolutely buzzing for him.
Yeah,
so he's around. Sorry,
I was just going to say about how he's such an incredible athlete, and he's literally got everything in his locker, hasn't he? He's got the ability to, his defensive awareness, he wins the balls, creates chances, and then creams the cake by scoring a goal.
Yeah, man, you can't fault that performance. It gets even better, would you believe it or not? 11 minutes into injury time, Jesus comes on as a substitute for Eddie Nketiah, who I thought actually had another really, really good performance for Arsenal. Thought he was really unlucky not to start the previous game where Trossard was the number nine. I think Eddie's on great form. He's got an international call-up to the England team, which in my opinion is thoroughly deserved. And yeah, another great performance from him. I know he hasn't contributed to a goal or assist or whatever, but you know, the eye test will show you that he was involved in most of our play, and he was everywhere today. So props to Eddie for this performance. But yeah, Jesus came on for him later in the second half and finished off on a brilliant counter attack. Vieira again, another impact from Vieira off the bench, who threaded through a perfect through ball to Jesus, who pretty much sits Dallow down, gets on his right foot and just slots past Onana. Beautiful little finish. And that can only be good for Jesus as well, coming back from another little niggly injury, surgery at the end of the day. You know, it's not a niggle, it's full-blown surgery that he's had to readdress some issues in his knee. He seems to have recovered from that really quick and got a goal already. So that's going to be really, really big for Arsenal. We've got an international break now. He's going to have time to get fully match fit on the sidelines whilst all the international players are off playing for their national team. So, yeah, really happy for Jesus.
Yeah, an unbelievable bit of play, really, wasn't it? And as soon as he was through on goal, I was sort of thinking, because you saw that Dallow was catching up to him, I was thinking, is he going to hit this with his left or is he just going to, what's he going to do with it? And in true Gabriel Jesus style, he did the little cut inside and the finish was sublime, wasn't it? It's like he didn't even give the keeper a second to react. It was an absolutely perfect cutback and a perfect bend round the keeper who was just rooted to the spot. And it was the moment where after we'd scored the Rice goal, we're thinking, right, come on, we've got back in the lead. But then as soon as Jesus goes through and scores that, it's just pure jubilation and party time because everyone knows that we've won the game now and everyone's running to the corner flag and high-fiving, celebrating. It's the sort of scenes that you want to see at the Emirates when it's rocking. And yes, we did leave it a little bit late. And to be honest, I think we, as a whole, didn't really perform too well today. I think we had one of our worst games. I know we created a few chances, but we conceded way too many chances to Manchester United. But to come out of the game, to win it in that fashion, it's only going to bring the boys closer together. It's going to give them lots of confidence going into the next game. There's a lot of star performers from players who you don't expect it from, like, you know, Vieira coming off the bench, getting an assist, Gabriel Jesus getting a goal. And it just gives us a much more broad selection of personnel to go into the game following the international break. For example, like we're talking about Gabriel Jesus, do you think he would be a starter for you after the international break?
God, it's a hard one because, you know, on one side of the coin, I've been saying how Eddie deserves his starts because of how well he's playing. But Jesus is our number, you know, he's our number nine. He's one of our best players at the end of the day. And I think if he's fully fit, then he plays. I think you can see it when he came on as well. He's just got that chaos factor, hasn't he? He can make things happen. He can give you that little bit of magic. And it doesn't matter who you're against in the Premier League. You do need that bit of magic from time to time. Even if it's just to get you 1-0 in front and just to bed you into the game a little bit more. It can come in handy so often, and it really will propel you up that table. So, yeah, I think the international break's actually come at a really good time for us. I think Arteta said in his post-match conference that going into the international break on a loss or a draw or whatever is not ideal, because then you've got players jetting off with their countries, all thinking about the last defeat or loss, or draw. And at the end of the day, it doesn't help the dressing room. We're now having the exact opposite of that. We're having players jet off with their national teams or the players that aren't on international duty, training at Arsenal with full of confidence, knowing that we'll just beat Manchester United. And yeah, I think we're in a really good position now. And it's these fine margins, isn't it? Like, we could easily be here talking about a 2-1 loss if the Garnacho goal was just, if he just managed to stay on the side slightly, we could be talking about such a different result. So I'm just so pleased that we got the rub of the green on this. And at the end of the day, I do think we deserve 3 points. We didn't have our best performance, like you said. I don't think we performed to the point where we didn't deserve to win, put it that way. So yeah, absolutely delighted.
Yeah, I have to agree with you there. And it's always encouraging to see that even though Arsenal, we've not performed well in, I wouldn't say we've even performed well in any of the games this season. We've played 4 games and we've come out with 10 points, only dropping 2 points. And it's not like we've actually played any team off the park and been completely dominant and absolutely destroyed them. We've had to get through every game, haven't we? So that in itself will give us momentum, and winning is a habit as well. So for us to know that the players, they're resilient, they can go behind, they can peg them back, they can get late last minute winners and kill games off in that fashion. It's just encouraging that this game had a little bit of everything, and hopefully we can bring that experience for these young players into the following games. And it would be nice if we could come back in, just absolutely play a team off the park and win 4 or 5-0, just for the heart. The old ticker seems to be going a lot in these last few games, but yeah, that's just the Arsenal that we love, and that's what they want to do to us.
That's it, man. That's it. So that's left us on 10 points now. So we're joint second with West Ham, Liverpool and Tottenham, which sounds disgusting to see. I don't know how they've managed to do that. What's more interesting is Declan Rice's post-match interview as well. They were asking him about the Arsenal and City rivalry of last year and how is that still a thing in Arsenal players' minds. And he responded basically saying, you know, it very much is, and that this game was seen as a must win, because to not pick up points in this would bridge that gap even further. Now only 2 points behind City with only 4 games played, whereas we could be looking at a completely different story had we not picked any points today. So it just shows you that we do very much still see this team as being able to compete for the title, which is interesting, because there's various pundits out there that seem to think that we're not going to be in with a shout for the title this year. Last year was a bit of a flash in the pan, and that we'll sink back into, you know, fourth place zone or whatever you want to call it. But I think that we're here to fight for that title. Mm. And to be honest, I don't see any other team bar City as good as us at the minute. And I don't even think we've hit top gear yet. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't think there's many other teams that can quite match our level. I think potentially Liverpool might be the only other team that could put together like 10 wins in a row. That's the sort of form that they've likened to in a couple of seasons ago. But apart from that, I can't really see like United. They've underperformed. Newcastle, who we thought were going to be a force this season, have really underperformed. And like you say, we've managed to get these points from these games even without playing too well. I saw Gary Neville said after the game he was tipping Arsenal to win the season. He said that at the start of the season, and he actually stuck by it after the game today, with a bit of taste in his mouth, which was hilarious to see. Whilst he was doing the interview, he had a bunch of Arsenal fans just say 3-1, 3-1 behind him. That was pretty interesting. But yeah, he said that this Arsenal team is the only team apart from City that he sees with the ability and the depth now to be able to go on and win the Premier League title. And I really hope that's true, and I really hope that we make a real go of it. And like you say, before this game was played, I was looking at the table and seeing that we were on 7 points and City were on 12. And it's just an absolute must win, really. Especially when you've already dropped points to City, because we know how we always message each other. We say City are inevitable whenever they play any team, because it seems like even when they go 1-0 down, they still, like they did the other day, win 5-1 or something stupid, Haaland hat-trick, because he just gets them every week. So we really need to match the pace of, well, the leaders, the front runners. We need to match their pace and hopefully leapfrog them at some point in the season.
Yeah, you just have to be perfect all the time, don't you? You can't really slip up, and that's why the Fulham game is still a little bit on my mind. 2 points lost there, but yeah, the Premier League is so tough. And to be fair, we've had some fairly decent fixtures to start off this Premier League campaign. Yes, United is a toughie, but we were at home, so you know I do think we've had some decent fixtures, and there's going to be plenty of tough games. And I'm just hoping that some of these teams can also nick some points from City, because, like you say, you can't help but think they are just inevitable, aren't they? And you're just starting to wonder where are they going to drop points from. Just as long as they don't take the invincibility from us, that would truly suck. But you know they are that strong that you can't help but think that's certainly in the realms of possibility with that team.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there anything else you want to touch on before we wrap up the pod?
No, there's not really anything that I can think of, not from today's game anyway.
Hey, We're going to have a little bit of a break now. As we said in the podcast, we've got an international break now, so that will mean there's no podcast until the next game. That next game is Sunday, the 17th of September, away to Everton at Goodison Park. So there's a little bit of a... I'm going to say that's that should be a big win for the Arsenal, but we have had some bogey games there, haven't we, in the past? We've got Sean Dyche in the past. Yeah, that's something to look forward to.
Yeah,
I think the scores on the doors will be for that one.
Scores on the doors. Well, to be honest, I don't want to be negative, but like you say, Everton away is a really tough fixture for us. For some reason, they just always seem to get the better of us when we go to Goodison Park. So, but no, I'm going to go positive, and I think we will win it, but narrowly, and it'll be a 1-0 to the Arsenal.
We may even see a little bit of rotation as well, because 3 days after that game, we have got our first Champions League game against PSV at home. There may be a bit of rotation. Maybe they'll rotate in the Champions League, who knows. PSV are a team that we played last year in the Europa League, and we beat them at home, and they had significantly better players then, with players such as Cody Gakpo and... I forgot his name now. What's his name? The PSG young lad.
Xavi Simmons. Is that who you're on about?
The one. That's the one, yeah. So they've lost two of their better players, so you'd like to think we should be able to rotate that game a little bit and give some of our lesser starting players starting positions. So let's wait and see on that one. But yeah, join us for the next podcast on the 17th of September against Everton. Take care, guys.
Take care.
You're listening to the Arsenal Ramble.